final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 15, starting at verse 9. You can find this on page 1677 of your pew Bibles. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Again, in this Lent season, we sit in the upper room with the disciples and with Jesus as they share their final meal together, as they lounge, and Jesus tells them what he thinks is most important for them to gather. And as we get closer to the end of the Lent season, we also draw closer to the end of the evening, when they get closer and closer to leaving for the garden. And like every good preacher, Jesus starts at the real heady up in the clouds thing and slowly works his way down to something real and tangible. And his lesson here, it's not even really a lesson, just a fairly basic instruction. And remember how we have phrased all of these lessons: I love you and. And so this week, it's shade different. But here is his lesson, or his teaching: I love you, so love each other. I can't make that more complicated. I can't tease that out. Jesus has gone away from these really complicated things, and he's really worked his way down to the essence of everything that he has talked about for the whole evening, for the full 3 years that he was on earth. I love you, so love each other. There's no controversy. There's no complexity. He's finally gotten simple, something that we can grab onto and hold. As the older gentleman of the congregations I was serving right after seminary, this is the stinger, the thing at the end to hold on to. I love you, so love each other. But the question, not even really a question of definition, but a question of degree: what does Jesus mean when he says, love each other? I am going to read two verses. One I just read that should give you an idea of the degree of love that Jesus is commanding here. John 15:13. Greater love has no one other than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And then if we go to what Tom read from 1 John, the letter that holds the same namesake, very verse that John read, that not John, Tom read in 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our sisters and brothers. For Jesus, the command here is to love each other. Simple. But Jesus has taken this command and made it difficult because he has raised the bar so high. Because he is commanding them to this full love. And his definition of full love is to lay down your life. This Lent season, I've had this habit, quite unintentionally, but quite effectively, of looking at Peter and showing how Peter missed the point that night. Show how Peter just didn't hear what Jesus was telling him. Because think about what Peter does. Peter's ready to fight. He draws his sword and cuts the slave's ear off. He's probably ready to die in battle, which if the only thing he does when he draws his sword is cuts a slave's ear off, he's probably going to die quite quickly because he has no skills with the sword. He's ready. No one's going to die unless I die first, and I'm ready to fight. He's got a warrior's heart. Maybe not any warrior skills, but he's got a warrior's heart. But within a couple of hours, when he no longer has the option to fight, where the only thing he can do is just risk his life, where admitting who he is and what he's done might just make him die, not fight and possibly survive, possibly not, but risk him dying. He becomes a coward. He cowers in fear and runs away. This idea of just laying down your life, Peter completely misses. And now, mind you, Peter gets there eventually. If we trust the ancient theologians, we know that Peter likely took a cross, but refused to take the regular cross, and so took the reverse crucifixion, which is much worse. Peter eventually gets there. He is eventually willing to lay down his life. But not that night. That night, within hours of receiving this lesson, Peter completely misses the point and fails. We do have an example, though. We have an example of this being correct. I don't know, I'm not going to blow anyone's minds here that Jesus is the example. We have the example of how you are supposed to lay down your lives, though. We can look to Jesus and look to the cross, but also look to the life that he lived. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, laid down the life that he could have had. If for no other reason, Jesus was a relational genius and could control the crowds. He could have used that to his benefit. And yet often, for the benefit of those that were gathered, he used it to his detriment. He could have lived as a king, and yet he lived at the lowest of the low. He could have condemned those that were sinners. Sinners. And yet he associated with the worst and the lowest. Often those who associating with would be to his detriment. He chose to give himself for everyone. That is the level of laying down his life that he chose every time he was at that fork where he could choose to benefit himself or benefit others. He chose to benefit others. And then at the end, when he could have saved himself throughout that entire process, saved himself the pain, the torture, the humiliation, he chose to take it anyway. He chose to take on this, to take on the sin that he had no part of, to die as a sacrifice, to die so that others could be healed. This isn't a warrior dying in battle. This is a man just giving his life. Just laying down his life so that others may be saved. That is our example. That is the bar that Jesus is setting for us. As humans, as people, we are constantly at those forks in the road of our life. Do we take this path that is good for us? Do we take this path that is good for someone else and sacrifices of our own life? We are constantly coming to those forks. And what Jesus is calling us to do here is to always choose the path that is for others. I'm not there yet. I wish I were. But I too struggle with wanting to choose what will help me and convincing myself that by helping me, I will eventually be able to help someone else better. But the bar that Jesus is setting for us here, if we are loving each other in the degree that Christ is calling us to love each other, it is to always choose the option that helps the others. I'm not there yet, but I am continuing to get better and trying harder. And as Christians, we are called to do that. I love you, so love each other, is Jesus' lesson. So, love each other fully, choosing to benefit each other over yourselves. Love each other to Christ's degree. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.